Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Kadrick Olson about seances, shadows, and spirits. Because I think there's a lot of situations where people, I'm going to say, you know, YouTube, TV, they see their investigations and it's all scares and thrills and they want that. And then you don't know how to deal with it once you've gotten in there. And I just feel like it stirs up a lot of stuff. If you don't properly know how to do it.
It really, really does. And I mean, let's give a little bit of a different sort of example that applies to that exact same situation, the Ouija board. The Ouija board is nothing but a piece of wood with letters and numbers. It's just wood with paint, period. There's nothing more to it. And in the late 1800s, early 1900s, people loved this thing. It was a game. It was something that they played with. They were having good experiences with it. But over time, especially after The Exorcist came out, the Ouija board became this portal to hell, this demonic thing. And now people are on TikTok pulling out the Ouija board, scared to death of it, having a bad experience, and they go, see, it's a terrible thing. Other people are watching that video, believing what they're seeing, pulling out their Ouija board, recording it, having a bad experience. And again, we're perpetuating that fear-based narrative. But if you remember, it's just a piece of wood and paint. So if you have the training to do a seance, and I teach people how to do seance, so you could set sacred space internally, externally, you set the expectations of it, you're going to use the Ouija board, you're going to get some really good information, and you're going to make a very boring TikTok that nobody wants to watch.
Which is not what they want. They want everyone to watch that, Kadrick.
Exactly. And so these paranormal shows are doing the same thing. If you were to experience the paranormal the way I do and the way I train people to do, you're not going to have a TV show. You're going to have some wonderful experiences. You're going to get some great information. You're going to have a beautiful connection. But when somebody watching TV, they're going to get bored with it. They're like, oh, yawn. You just had some old lady saying, hey, I'm here.
Change of channel. I want something a little more exciting.
But that's what it's really like. It's just another form of life. You know, it's just people living their life, doing ordinary things to them, not banging on the wall, screaming, get out. It just doesn't really happen.
I do want to talk about seances because I have no experience with seances. Obviously, I've heard about them my whole life. I remember playing with a Ouija board when I was a kid, but I don't remember. We might have tried a seance or something when I was really little. I don't remember. We would have had no idea what we were doing, of course. But, you know, in my brain, it's people sitting around in a circle holding hands in the dark, and there's someone who kind of becomes possessed is what it's sort of portrayed as. What is it really like?
Great question. What it really is, you know how we hear about the veil between the worlds? People say, you know, Halloween, tomorrow, that the veil between the world is the thinnest, or midnight or 3 a.m., the veil is the thinnest. None of that's true. There is no veil between the worlds. You are the veil. And so what happens around Halloween or Walpurgisnacht or any of these things is your awareness gets opened up. Your psychic abilities, your subtle senses are open and you're aware. The paranormal is around you all the time. It is a normal, natural part of our world. Spirits are everywhere. Energy is everywhere. It's just we were taught as kids to shut it off, tune it out, and ignore it. We do. And what the seance is all about is it's just a ritual. And ritual in the, or maybe ceremony is a better word. It's a ceremony where we go into an altered state of consciousness, where we allow our subtle senses to be awakened. We allow ourselves to be aware, and we allow ourselves to connect with the spiritual world. And sure, there are some people that are mediums that will allow themselves to be possessed, so to speak, you know, allow channeling to come through there. That's certainly an option. But the way I love to run seances is I teach you how to use the tools. I teach you how to use a pendulum, how to use a dowsing rod, how to do automatic writing, and how to receive telepathic communication from spirits so that you end up being the medium. Like when I teach seances, it tends to be 2 hours long. And maybe for the first half hour, I'm demonstrating what it's like. But by the end of the 2 hours, the participants are the ones communicating the information. So really all seance is just a way to allow yourself to be aware, to be able to connect, and then to safely disconnect, to safely come back and be an ordinary 3D person so that nothing's attached, nothing's lingering. So it's almost like a training session for you to remember what it's like to have your subtle abilities, your psychic senses aware.
So really with you, it's more the whole group is kind of going into that state.
Yes.
You know, it's not like in Ghost where Whoopi Goldberg is the one and everybody else is hanging on. Because that's kind of how it's portrayed. And so, you know, if the whole group's kind of going there together, how do you disconnect safely? Is there one person who kind of, is there a tool that you give them? Or, and by tool, I mean advice. That you give them to disconnect safely?
Absolutely, yeah. It's all part of the closing ceremony.
Okay.
Where we invite spirits to depart, any of the guides that are here, the facilitators that are here to help people leave. And then I guide everybody through like a guided meditation for clearing energy and disconnecting and releasing any attachments. So even if somebody came into the room with an attachment, they leave without an attachment because we clear all of that away. And then I recommend after they're done, you know, grab something salty to eat, something substantial to eat, like chocolate or whatever, and do something mundane. You know, just do something physical, real world thing. You know, even if it's like washing dishes or vacuuming or hanging out watching TV, just do something ordinary to bring yourself back into the 3D world.
See, I think that's an important piece of advice for a lot of different things. I find, you know, I do talk a lot about paranormal things. And so sometimes I'm having conversations like this at, you know, what is it, 7:40 at night. But I've done this like at 10 o'clock at night. And I have to, when I'm done, I have to disconnect from it. And I kind of, because I'll go to bed and dream about it all night. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of times where we do, life in general, you have to clear your mind of it. So I think that's really good advice. When you have a seance, because once again, my knowledge of them is just what I've seen on movies. Or I think of Mary Todd Lincoln, because I'm a big Abe Lincoln fan, and she loved seances. But, you know, I see them as a group of people trying to contact a son or trying to contact a loved one. Is that kind of what you find most people use them for? Or is it more of... there's a number of things I think you could do with that information. It could be a learning tool. You know, you could connect with somebody who could help you through this life maybe. Or are they more used to contact a deceased loved one?
All of the above.
Okay.
Because in the years that I've been doing this, sometimes we have to do a private seance because somebody has things that are unsaid or unresolved, and it helps healing on both sides. And when it's like a public seance, a lot of times it is a loved one just popping in saying, hey, we're here. You know, we're still alive. Life goes on and things are great. There's been a couple times where I've gotten like a loved one that just says, hey, cut it out. You know, we didn't get along in life. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, they've just
Not giving them the peace and closure they wanted.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, as I've been doing the more and more public seances, there have been a soul that would come in that nobody recognizes. It's not there for anybody. And as we're communicating with it, it's a lost soul. It's one of those people that doesn't want to cross over for whatever reason. And so we help it. And that's part of the training that we go through. And when I connected with the whisperers, I'm like, why does this keep happening? And they said, oh, we're bringing these in on purpose for you. Because people need to understand that there are a lot of lost souls out there. And when they encounter them, they need the techniques to be able to help those souls find their way back. So seances, in a lot of times, is healing for people on both sides. you know, quite a few times when I'm working with clients, they want to talk to their father.
Mm-hmm.
But mom comes through and mom's like, hey, dad's having a really hard time getting though to the other side. Here are some things you can do. And here are the things that I want you to share with your siblings so that they can do to help your dad transition to the other side. And sometimes it's grief. Sometimes we're like holding on so much to that person that we haven't grieved and we haven't let them go. And so they're still wanting to be like, hey, yeah, I don't want to go if you're hurt and stuff. I want to be here with you too. And so sometimes we have to heal ourselves to let them heal too. So a lot of times seance has been healing on both sides of the world.
I really connected with what you just said, because when my father died, I had a really hard time with it. And it hit me, I don't know how long later it was, maybe 8 months to a year in there. It was quite a while. I realized that I wasn't letting go of the grief, because that was the one connection I still had. And as long as I'm grieving for him, it was almost like I'm not letting him go. And then it kind of hit me that I'm holding myself back and I could be holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need a connection and I don't have one. And my only connection is to be sad and cry. And you know, I don't want to move on. I don't want to smile anymore. And I realized, whoa, this isn't helping anybody at all. You know, so that's nice to know that other people, that it's not just me. I think grief is a very powerful connection to a loved one. And, you know, I think, too, we all want that person to come through, whether you go see a psychic or a medium or whoever you go see. You want that connection with that loved one. When sometimes, don't you think you can kind of find it within yourself?
Absolutely, because that's where it always is.
Yeah, but sometimes they need someone like you to help them find it.
Exactly. And that's why a big part of what I do is twofold. It's spiritual development and shadow work, so that we can let go of the anchors holding us down with the shadow work, and then we could rise to those new heights by doing the spiritual growth and the spiritual evolution. So it's a twofold process that my clients and students get.
Like, is it coursework that you do with people? How do you refer to it? Or is it one-on-one? Do you do Zoom calls? How do you work with someone?
Yep, I do have some online courses. You know, like I've got a seance training course. I've got a course for developing your paranormal awareness. And it's, you know, self-paced. It's all pre-recorded. You go through the steps. I do have some shadow work courses that is part coursework and part one-on-one work. And then as needed, I do also have one-on-one sessions. You know, I've got people who are looking for spiritual mentorship, spiritual guidance. We do different kinds of work that's outside of the pre-recorded coursework that we do. And then we can go deep in working on some of those things. So I do one-on-one. I do have online courses, and I do have hybrids of those available.
This is going to be a question I'm not expecting a direct answer from at all. Sometimes I just ponder, what are we doing? Like, what am I doing here? What are you doing here? And do you kind of think, because I mean, you have the whisperers and you might have a little extra knowledge. Do you think that we're all on our own paths trying to find some sort of enlightenment? Are we trying to find, or should we be looking for growing ourselves? Do you think some people are just missing the path completely? How do you kind of look at why we're even here? That's a pretty big question. Once that came out of my mouth, I'm like, okay, that's a big question.
The simplest answer is just for the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
When working with spirits and communicating with spirits all these years, I don't mean to downplay the physical world, but a lot of spirits see this life as kind of like a sandbox, a playground. Some people will say it's the graduate school. Sure, that's fine. But here, they're here to have experiences. You know, I've seen and worked with couples who are working through some relationship issues this lifetime, and they are working with a relationship coach. But they come to me because they know that they have some past life issues. And as we're unraveling those, it's like, yeah, you guys chose back and forth. One lifetime, you were the abused and the other was the abusee, and then you switched roles. And then in between lifetimes, this is going to sound so messed up somehow for those of us in our 3D world. But in the in-between life, as you were going between lives, you high-fived each other. And they come back and they tell me this. They high-five each other going, yeah, look, we did that. We experienced that. Cool. Hey, the next time, let's do this. And so they come into this world. We all come into this world to have certain experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I came across a single mom who had a couple of kids that were in good health, and she had one child that was severely disabled. He was in a wheelchair, couldn't feed himself. You know, it was severe disabled. And so I reached out and I connected with higher self and higher beings and whispers. And I'm like, is there something I can do to help? Is there a way I can give energy work? What can I do to help in this situation? And I swear to you, the soul of that child reached out to me and said, no, please don't. And identified itself as a higher level being and said, my mom and I came into this world under the agreement to experience these things. And I understand your compassion. I know you want to help, but if you do, it will interfere with what we came here to experience and to understand. So please let us have our lives. I'm like, okay, you got it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I've even worked with clients whose purpose in this life was just hedonism. They don't have anything big to accomplish. They don't have anything to do. They're just here to enjoy the moment and play with things. But, you know, they're spiritual beings or high level beings. So they're trying to understand what's going on, why they're tuned into these things. And aren't they here to fulfill something? I'm like, nah, you're just here to play and have a good time. So it's different for everybody.
Now you've given me something to think about, because it's like maybe my next lifetime's just about hedonism.
You can do that.
Maybe I've already done it. I don't know. But I do think there are times where people are put together. You know, you go through a loss or grieving or dealing with a special needs child. And a lot of that lesson is, you know, your growth and how you overcome that situation and help the other person overcome it.
Absolutely.
Do you find that a lot of people, I think some of us are kind of shut down to it, that maybe you're too busy or you're too analytical or something. But I think that a lot of times people ignore that voice inside of them, that feeling, that intuition. We ignore it when you really had a feeling you shouldn't have gotten in your car that day. Like you had a bad feeling, but you jumped in your car anyway and you got in an accident.
Yep.
And don't you think that a lot of times if we paid a little bit more attention and got more in tune with ourselves, that we could teach ourselves a lot even?
100% agree with that. That is exactly it. All of us, every single one of us on this planet have an intuition. Every single one of us have that ability to tune into that feeling and go, oh, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to go do that. Every single one of us has that. It's just we've been trained to listen to our rational, cognitive, logical, linear brain because it's the thing that drives the car. It's the one that does the spreadsheets. It's the one that does the grocery shopping. Therefore, everything has to fit to its rules. Where intuition comes in abstract, it's nonlinear, mm-hmm. and oftentimes it lacks context. So the brain ignores and says, oh, this is irrelevant information. We don't need to make use of it. But when you start to tap into your abilities, when you start to do seance, when you start to listen internally, you start to pick up on what that intuition feels like. And now you can suddenly answer the door before people knock. And I do that all the time. I know when somebody's coming to the door and I tend to be at the door before they even knock. It kind of freaks them out because it's there. I've got that intuition that I'm listening to.
I think that you, and maybe you already have, but you need to record some books just so people can listen to your voice. You have the most calming voice, just the way you speak. Like you could tell a story and it would be like, I could listen to it before bed. And I would go, oh, Kendrick has the most beautiful voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's just very calming. And you just have this a very calm energy about you. So I could see how people really could connect and work with you at a different level and try to, you know, grow themselves.
Thank you. I really appreciate that very much.
Now, you've got a website, and I'll put a link to the website on the show description, so you can easily get there from wherever you're listening. There's a little banner. It says, Unveiling Spirit Communication, Master the Mysteries of the Spirit Realm. Now, is that one of your courses? Is that kind of an umbrella for multiple courses that you do?
Yes, it's a special bundle that has the seance certification class so that you learn all the ins and outs of how to run a seance. And it's, I forgot how many weeks it is. I think it's like 4 weeks long. Paranormal awareness, it's another one where you learn to develop your clair senses, like your clairvoyance, your clairaudience. And then you are able to satisfy that logical linear brain because you're able to get verifiable results and put it to use. And then it comes with a free bonus, which is a field guide to astral entities and subtle beings, where I teach you about everything from thought forms to egregores to tulpas and different types of humans, because human spirits come in different flavors and different types. And we even go into nature spirits, and you learn about what they are, how they work, and how they communicate, so you can deal with them and understand what's going on around you when you're communicating or connecting with them.
And, you know, there's so many people I've talked to who, like, their place is in nature. And I've talked to more than one person that when they need to feel centered or grounded, they go hug a tree, or they'll go sit and lean up against a tree. Do you find there are just some kind of spirits that people like that are more connected to?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
The whole natural world is filled with spirits galore. I mean, even in Iceland has an industry for it. Like, if the roadways, if somebody wants to create a road and there's a hill or a rock in the way, there are special people that come out to see if there are hidden folk living in that hill or that rock. And if there are, that road has to go around it. You can't move it. And so when you go out into the natural world, you're tuning into these beings. You're connecting with them in their environment. So if you sit with a rock, or you sit with a tree, or you sit with a stream, you detect that there's an intelligence there. But it's not like a consciousness like human intelligence, like we're aware of, but it's its own sort of unique genius. And you can connect and communicate with that, and you can make friends. And by the way, some of the paranormal challenges as I had with clients, where they've had things missing in their house or things moving around or little goofy little problems, it's because they've upset a nature spirit near their home. And that spirit's like, you're messing with my house, I'm going to come mess with yours. And so I help them to resolve that issue and get back on good terms with their neighbors.
What is an example? Because I've got a nice big yard. I don't want to go out and mess anything up out there and make it come in.
You could preemptively reach out. Let's say there's a pile of rocks or a boulder that you want to move to the other side of the yard, or just want to get rid of in general. Spend a quiet moment with it. I know it sounds silly to some people, but spend a quiet moment with that pile of rocks or that boulder and get a good feel for it. And instead of using your words, you can still use your words, but get a feeling for the information that you want to communicate. Hey, I need to move this. What do you think about that? You know, just as if you're talking with your neighbor, as if you're talking with a friend. Just have a casual conversation and notice the feeling that you get from it. Is it a big, like, no, you don't do this one? Or is it like a, okay, thank you for letting me know. And if you're going to move this, I'd rather it be over here. You'll start to get those impressions. You'll start to get those little bits of information coming in. If you're quiet, you quiet your mind and you're tuning in, you'll get that. And it'll be like, yeah, you can move this, but could you put it over here? I like it to be over there. And that way you can preemptively deal with it so that you won't have a problem.
See, that's interesting, because I will talk to my house, and I'm assuming I'm not the only one. Maybe there are other people who do that. But if I was going to do something to my house, I will tell my house, here's what's going on. But I don't think to do that outside. But I do feel, you know, there are places that I'm drawn to by water, or I love walking on paths among trees, that I don't think we always take the time to really be in that moment and experience what we're doing. You know, a lot of times you're taking a walk and you're thinking about all the million things you have to do once you get home, rather than being in that moment with nature. And so I think maybe that's something we could all learn to do better.
Absolutely agree with that. Take that moment to just be aware, tune in, and get a feel for what's around you. Because really, the supernatural is completely natural. It's everywhere. And you are the veil. So all you have to do is just take that moment, tune in, and you go, oh, it is everywhere. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's great stuff.
You've given me so much to think about today. I'm really glad that we had the chance to talk.
Thank you.
And you can find Kadrick's page. Just find that link on the show description. And you've got a Facebook page. They can go to the website and click right on your Facebook page and your socials there. Mm-hmm. But this has been a really great conversation. I thank you so much for your time and giving me a lot to think about tonight. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And thank you, too. I really appreciate connecting with you and having this conversation. It's a good talk.
And that wraps up our conversation with Kadrick Olson. For more information, visit his website at kadrick.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.